Reading is taken from John 3, verses 14 to 17 on page 90 of the Pew Bibles. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The next reading is taken from John 20, verses 21 to 31, page 112. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to them, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Claire. So as we come to God's word this morning, let's pray together. Do not doubt, but believe. This morning, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us those words, that in whatever situation we are going through in our life, we would not doubt, but believe in you. Reveal yourself amongst us as we continue to worship, as we come to your word this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, we are continuing to explore together the impact and significance of the resurrection in our lives. And over the coming weeks, we're exploring this book together, The Risen Existence, written by Paula Gooder. What she does in her book is give a perspective on the resurrection from each of the different gospel writers and also from some of the other writers in the New Testament. And this morning we are looking at John's account and John's unique perspective that he puts on to the resurrection. Notice from our reading in John 3 this morning to start, we heard that the Son of Man will be lifted up. And I think what John brings to us is this sense that actually Jesus is being lifted up within his death, the resurrection, and the ascension. That he might be lifted up on the cross, that he might be lifted up out of the tomb, and that he is lifted up into heaven. And what John is doing here, I think, more than the other gospel writers, is bringing together these three critical elements of the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, and bringing them together to help us to understand what it really means for us. Paula Gooder describes the events as spilling into each other, almost but not quite the same event. And I think what John is doing here is giving us maybe more of a divine perspective. He's doing some real serious theology here at the end of his book as we try to understand what the significance is for our lives. What this series will allow us to do is to focus on the same event, that event of Jesus' resurrection, but through a different lens or angle. I'm not sure if you've ever been to a play in the round where the members of the audience sit around what is happening in the middle. They watch the performers from a particular viewpoint, from a particular perspective. And of course, if you went another night, you might sit in a different position within the audience, and you might see that whole play from a whole new perspective. You might see things that you didn't see before. I think as we come to look at the resurrection through the different lenses, through the different angles that the gospel writers and the other New Testament writers give us, we can have our understanding and our perspective on the resurrection broadened and enlarged. We can see new things that maybe we haven't seen before. You will remember, if you were with us on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday, Gary on the stepladder, encouraging us to have a new perspective, a new vision through the power of the resurrection in our lives. And hopefully this series will enable us and equip us to do that. Having grown up in the 1990s, we used to have these books. I'm sure you can still get them, Magic Eye books. Anyone seen Magic Eye books? There's an example of one. And the point of Magic Eye books is that you can hopefully see an image come out of what appears to be just an array of colors and shapes. And the process usually was you'd have to stick the book close to your eyes, you'd squint or do something like that, and slowly you'd take the book away from your eyes, and suddenly this picture, this 3D image, would come out at you. And of course, in the 90s, that was really, really cool. I'm not sure how much it would be these days. But suddenly this image, and it would be a 3D image, and you could like move the book as well, and this image would move with you, and suddenly there would be shapes that you hadn't seen before. And of course, if your friends were struggling with it, they couldn't get it, they can't see it. Like, I can't see it, I can't see it. And you're like, I've got it. And you flick to the next page, and you're, oh, I've got that one as well. And suddenly, now that you've changed your vision, you've kind of trained your eyes, you can see the image clearly. And in fact, you get better and better at it. And you can go through the book quickly seeing those images. There's a sense that we need to retrain our eyes through the understanding and the significance of the resurrection in our lives. When we read the gospel accounts, there's something profound about actually the use of the senses that the gospel writers talk about. As those who met Jesus perceived him through using their senses, and there's also this idea that they had to retrain their senses so that they could truly understand the risen Jesus, that they could truly see him in their midst. Both Mary and the disciples on the road to Emmaus don't immediately recognize Jesus, you may remember from the stories. They needed additional help to recognize Jesus. On the road to Emmaus, it was that act of hospitality, that breaking of bread, and suddenly the disciples recognize it is Jesus who has been walking with them and is there in their midst. For Mary, it was hearing the voice of Jesus speak her name to her. Suddenly she recognizes this is the risen Jesus. We need to retrain our senses so that we can perceive, so that we can know our God, our Lord, working in our lives and in our world. For me, it also reminds us of the unreliability of our senses, that too often we can jump to conclusions. We need to retrain our senses. We need to broaden our perspectives. I've had the privilege of traveling a number of times to East Africa. And the times that I've been there, it's been amazing how God has shaped and formed my understanding of his people and of my relationship with him as I've experienced other people in a completely different culture experiencing, knowing, and worshiping God. For our young people who went to Tanzania 2 years ago, that was so much of their experience. As they encountered people who were living completely differently, living sometimes in severe poverty, their whole perspective on the world was shifted and changed. And I think there is a danger that we can so too easily become very narrow-minded, that our context can shape everything about our understanding. And that might be particularly so here in Ecclesall. And that can affect everything that we do, but particularly it can affect how we understand and read the Bible, and it can affect how we relate to God, how we worship him. There's so much power in being able to meet those from very different cultures and backgrounds, even within this city, that actually as we talk with them, they shape our experience, they enlarge our perspective and our view of the world. It's one of the processes that I think the Spirit encourages us in. God's Spirit is asking us to have his perspective on life, to broaden our understanding. And so we begin to have a kingdom vision of a world. A world that to us can seem so cruel and hopeless, but to God is one that calls out for love and transformation. As with those magic eyes, we need to retrain our senses through God's Spirit so that we can perceive him in our midst and so we can perceive his work in our world. The resurrection should cause us to do that and allows us to retrain our senses, our vision. Paula Gooder writes this in her book. Belief in the resurrection is an act of rebellion against the evil, corruption, and oppression that can so easily swamp us. Believing in the resurrection can be a refusal to accept that the world is as it is, that it can never change and that we must accept it simply as it is. Believing in the resurrection allows us to see the world with a long view, a perspective that looks backwards to the resurrection and forwards to the end times, recognizing traces of resurrection and end times in what is happening now. Believing in the resurrection can and should transform not only how we view the world, but how we live in it. We should become people in whom others can see new life and people who introduce that new life wherever the world is life denying. Resurrection makes a difference not only to Jesus and the earliest disciples, but also to us as we live out our lives day by day. As we come to our passage in John 20, we can see that Thomas has his whole understanding, his perspective radically changed. For Thomas, it wasn't enough for him to simply hear from the other disciples. In fact, it wasn't enough for him to simply see the risen Lord. He wanted to feel and to touch. Only then would he believe. He needed solid evidence. I think this scene is absolutely remarkable. Caravaggio was the one who painted this, and I think it is a remarkable painting. It gives us a sense of what is taking place in this passage. And we could have a whole sermon series. I'm sure there are many PhDs written on why the risen Jesus still bore the scars of the resurrection. We don't have time to go into it now. But actually, the significance here is so that Thomas can reach out, can touch, can put his hands into the wounds of Jesus. See the mark. Put your finger in the mark of the nails in my hands and your hand in my side, Jesus says. He allows him to do that in what is a true, intimate moment. And what's remarkable here that John draws out twice is that when Jesus meets with the disciples, John says that the doors were shut, and suddenly Jesus appears amongst them. And we can have this idea that there's this kind of ghostly figure that appears with them. Hopefully, as we read here, this was Jesus in all his physical nature, standing with them, still bearing the wounds of the cross. And he encourages Thomas to come, to reach, to touch, to put his hands in the wounds. He was so physical. This is the same Jesus who walked with them, but he's different. And I'm not even sure the gospel writers can truly understand the significance and write about that. This is Jesus, and he comes and goes as both one belonging to this world and to a different world. Again, we get that sense of the now and the not yet of Jesus' risen state. And then Jesus says to Thomas, he says, do not doubt, but believe. Do not doubt, but believe. I wonder whether he is asking you that question this morning. Do not doubt, but believe. In the midst of the struggles that you might be going through, in the midst of the question marks that you keep encountering as you engage more in faith, Jesus says to us, do not doubt, but believe. Believe, reach out, touch, see, and know the risen Jesus in our midst. And we do that, as our passage from John 3 says, so that the light might shine, so that the world might know that the one, like the serpent that was lifted up by Moses in Numbers 21, Jesus is the one who is being lifted up so that all who might see him may believe and have life. As God's people saw the serpent in the wilderness and had life through that, Jesus is lifted up so that we might see him and have life through him. And then Thomas believes. In such a significant statement, he says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And this is absolutely crucial for John's gospel, because here we have the first person who is declaring that Jesus is God. That the Word became flesh, as we understood and read at the beginning of his gospel, is now made known fully as Jesus, God's own Son. Through a resurrection perspective, through having our senses retrained through it, we can declare, my Lord and my God. In the midst of pain and hurting, we can declare, my Lord and my God. In the midst of joys and sorrows, we can declare, my Lord and my God. In our doubts, our questions, our uncertainties, in the stuff that we just don't get, we can declare, my Lord and my God. When we feel that the world around us is so broken, and that there's no hope, we declare, my Lord and my God. If you are struggling with illness, if you are grieving at the moment, declare, my Lord and my God. The Son of Man is lifted up so that the world might see, believe, and know, and so that we might have life. Together as we gather this morning, as we do so often, we do it to declare in the midst of a world that is broken, my Lord and my God. Let's pray together to finish. And Lord, particularly, I feel a sense to pray for those here this morning who are struggling with doubts about faith. Just so many question marks, challenges that people put to them at their workplace, maybe even within their family. And in the midst of those uncertainties, in the midst of our doubts, Lord, I thank you that we can declare, my Lord and my God. Jesus, speak to us this morning. May we know your voice saying, do not doubt, but believe and have life. For we pray this in your name. Amen.